But I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 19. I'm going to read a good portion of the remainder of this text. Probably take a few stops here and there, possibly. Chapter 10, verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. I want to stop there so we can pray. I'd like to preach to you on the topic, the light of the world. And if they'd come and pray for us, and then we'll continue. You can be seated when we're done.
Lord Jesus, I pray that you would bless Pastor, that, Lord, you would give him the right words to speak, yes, that it be directly from you, and that we would open our hearts, that we would receive it, that any bad spirit that is in here would be gone, so that we can receive your message fully. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. The apostle is here, trying to pass on some assurance or reassurance, if you please. I believe it's fairly spelled out in verse 22 when he said, let us draw near with a heart of full assurance. Let us draw close to the Lord with full assurance that he will do what he has promised that he would do. And the next verse is, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now, I'm going to have to take my time just to try and put this together for you to make sure it's clear. So what you'll read in this text is sort of a beginning, and the apostle is going somewhere with this, and there's a lot of other things that he discusses in these few verses that we read. And so he, of course, begins by reminding them about entering into the holiest by the blood of Jesus with boldness. And he talks about drawing near and holding fast the profession of our faith. And then he kind of shifts gears in verse 24, and he says that we need to consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So there's a shift there. He goes from talking about us and our faith to we need to consider others and to provoke each other to love, which the opposite would be not provoking each other to wrath or to anger or to quarreling. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know that verse very well. If you get tired of going to church, that's your problem. It's not God's. The Bible says we're supposed to go and assemble more, not less, as we get closer to the return of the Lord. But all over the world, we've gone less. We've gone from three services to two to one, in many cases a day for a lot of people. We've gone from weeks and weeks revivals down to 3 days if we're lucky, because we're busy, and God understands, right? Of course he doesn't. And so you see that shift now, talking about our faith, holding fast to that, don't waver. Consider each other. Do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but exhort one another, more so when you see the day approaching. Now he begins to talk about sin. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. What that simply means is if you sin willfully, after you've received the knowledge of the truth, that means there's not going to be another Savior that's going to come to fix all that mess. If the first one wasn't enough for you, you got a problem. But a certain fearful looking of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Now what he's talking about when he talks about Moses' law, he's talking about authority. He's talking about despising authority. Now, that's a very broad term, very broad statement with a very broad meaning. We could say that we despise authority just in general. You don't want to be told what to do. That's a devious spirit. We could say we despise authority in more of a broad sense. Well, you don't mind the preacher get up and preaching, you know, and you don't mind him step on your feet a little bit, but you know, just don't get in my business. You know, don't tell me how to live my life. Don't tell me what's wrong and what's not. I don't need someone telling me I'm living in sin. And so that's the despising of Moses' law. This is being spoken by the apostle to remind them what happens to the church when the church allows herself to fall away from the Lord and the church neglects to draw near with the full assurance and confidence of His mercy and His grace. He reminds them to hold fast the profession of our faith. That means you hold fast unto things you promised God. Your profession of your faith. Well, I'm a child of God, then live up to it. Well, I believe, then believe in everything. Don't just believe in what you want to believe. Believe, be a believer. Broad application. And so now he begins to talk about what happened to the church of old when they begin to despise the law of Moses. How much more sore punishment suppose ye that he be thought worthy who hath trodden under the foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing. So now, what a very powerful statement. He says, how much sorer or stricter of a punishment do you think he's worthy of when he has trodden under the foot the Son of God? Now, most people, and I'm not presuming that this is you, but most people would not consider themselves as being one that has trodden the Lord Jesus under their foot until you begin to despise His law, until you begin to despise the ways of the Lord, truth and righteousness. Let me just give you a little nugget. Don't be foolish. Don't let anybody talk you out of truth. Don't let anybody talk you out of what God has revealed to you. Nobody. Nobody, because they're not more important to you than the Lord Jesus is, or His blood that has made it all possible. And so how much worse of a punishment do you think He's worthy of? He who has trodden under the foot the Son of God and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith He was sanctified in the first place. But now He considers it an unholy thing. And He's done despite under the Spirit of grace. So regardless of grace, rather than embracing grace and cherishing grace, he, in one sense, he neglects that grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. Again, he, the Lord, shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's all the preachers today that won't preach that. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And if there is some fear in you, you have a problem. And I'm in the book. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That don't mean we're frightened of God, but that means there's a fear. You know He's the judge. I want to preach now in a second. When you go out there and you keep living your life of ill repute and sin, and you keep putting the things of this world above the things of God after he'd already sanctified you and washed you in his blood, what the apostle is saying is how much more of a sore punishment should he deserve, he who has trodden under the foot the Lord Jesus himself and the blood of Jesus and the fact that he was already sanctified by the Lord. And then he says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Every single person that allows themselves to fall into that state of mind ought to be afraid of what can happen in the end if he lets himself slip away from God. Now, verse 32 is my favorite verse. It says, but call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great light, a great fight of afflictions. Now, pay attention to that verse, because I feel like God's going to help me now. He says, what you and I need to do is to call into remembrance. You need to set your behind down for a minute. Forget your baseball for a little bit. Forget your football for a little bit. Forget your little parties and your little plays. And forget your little fairs and your little trips away. And you need to sit down and say, my God, look where I was. And look who I used to be. And what's happening to me now? Where am I going? How am I falling away? I'm not the man or the woman I used to be. I don't have the passion or the love that I used to be. You need to sit down and call into remembrance the person you were when the Lord pulled you out of this world. Former days, after which you were illuminated. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. You endured a great fight of afflictions. Watch, partly wish you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions to them that were so used. Meaning, you became somebody who they gawked at and hawked at, and oh my God, there goes that weirdo now. Hey, I'm going to say this right now, because I felt all morning I should say it. The day you're embarrassed to speak in tongues is the day you're lost. The day you're embarrassed to let the Holy Ghost flow through you, I don't care who's looking at me. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you got to say. I am the Lord's child, and I'm going to talk as much as he lets me talk in his heavenly language, and I'm going to dance, and I'm not going to be ashamed about it. I'm going to lift my hands. I don't care if you're looking at me. When you first come to the Lord, the Bible says, the apostle says, you were a gazing stock. And then he said, you became companions with others that were gazing stocks. You know, it was like all the weird people that run around church that hang out together. For you had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Remember the former days, which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. Can I ask you a question? What that means is, when you came to the Lord, you didn't have a problem with the things people said. You didn't have a problem with your family when they mocked you and made fun of you. But after a while, it wears on you a little bit. You get a little embarrassed. How is church? They're always good. You don't want to talk to them about people running around. You want to talk to them about them hooting and hollering now. How come you were okay fighting that battle when you come to the Lord? What's changed? God first revealed truth into you. You were so excited. Who am I preaching to? Only the Lord knows. You rejoiced every day and every moment. You would go home and you'd thank God. What happened now? What's changed in you? How come you were willing to fight then, but you're not willing to fight now? Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So, to summarize that would just say, the apostle says, what you need is just some more patience, that's all. You've let your patience wear thin. You're not willing to endure the way you used to. You're not willing to fight the way you used to. He said, you need some patience, knowing that when you're all done with this, you have a promise from the Lord. For yet a little while, and he shall come. He that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. I guess I should have titled this, Don't Take One Step Backwards. Don't draw back. Don't back up. Don't take your foot off the gas pedal. Don't take it easy now. It's not time to put up the sail and shut off the engine so you can save some gasoline because the economy is really bad. He's saying, crank it up now. Now more than ever, you need to put your foot down and you need to double down with who you are. You need to be confident in what you know and what you believe. And if you're not, we need to have a Bible study so we can impart into you and help you get that assurance back in you so you can walk around with your head held high, not worrying about what they say, not worrying about what they write, not worrying about what they type, but you know who you are in Jesus Christ. So let's go back to verse 32. Carter remembers the former days in which after you were illuminated. Let's talk about that for a second. That word means to shed rays, to shine, to brighten up, figuratively, literally, to enlighten, to make, to see, to illuminate. Have you ever considered that the sun is way out there in outer space? And this big, massive, however big they say it is, you YouTubers can tell me, ball of fire. Have you ever considered that the moment you leave our atmosphere and you get into space, there's no light, but that the sun is shining through all of that. And there only has you only get light once it reaches the earth. Ever thought about it? How come all of space isn't lit up? Got you thinking now, don't it? Even though those sunbeams go through outer space, it's all still darkness. And we say that it does take darkness to reveal light, and it does, but that's not altogether or entirely accurate. It's when the sunbeams literally hit the atmosphere that now it creates illumination. So if we go back to this verse, he says, call to remembrance of former days in which after you were illuminated. That means at that time in your life when the light of God hit you, there was an atmosphere that was welcoming of what God was sending, of the beams that were coming into your life. And that's what caused it to illuminate. Literally, the atmosphere is what brings the illumination. We're going to get back to that. And so the truth of the Word of God, or the light of God as we'll call it, can go out as if there is no atmosphere, no firmament, like through outer space. Nothing else gets lit up. And it'll shine right past somebody. You'll have somebody up here and they're weeping, they're dancing, they're joyful. And you're sitting there like, I don't know, big deal about it. You know why? Because they have atmosphere. You don't. They created a place for the light to reflect off of, which now begins to illuminate their life. And they begin to see. That's how a sinner begins to understand that sin is sin, because they finally come to a place where their atmosphere is conducive for the light to shine into their life. Do you know why some people never get revelation? I don't believe that. I don't agree with that. And they spend their whole time like a stubborn, stiff-necked bull. And they never create an atmosphere for the light of God to shine in their life to bring revelation unto them. Take a flashlight. Go out tonight. Shine it in, shine it out. See if you see any light. You're going to see no light until it hits something. I heard someone say, we should just keep preaching the word. One day revival will hit us. You know, it annoyed me. I was at camp this year, and I probably shouldn't say this on recording, but I will, because no one listens anyway. Great message, great preachers. I respect them all, and I agree with them, and I think they're great men of God. But something dawned on me. One of the preachers said, God's getting ready to... Like, my God, man, how many years are we going to preach that God's getting ready to? I mean, every year, God's getting ready to. God's going to do something. God's getting your house ready. God's getting you. You know why they preach that? Because God's always ready. We're just not always ready. That getting ready to will never happen until we become an atmosphere. Do you know why you need to lift your hands and worship God? Because you make yourself an atmosphere. You make yourself conducive where the beams of heaven will come down. And as you begin to worship the Lord, God inhabits the praises of his people, because now you create atmosphere. And what happens when somebody doesn't want truth? They have no atmosphere and they'll never see truth. You couldn't open their eyes if you plied them open with pliers and put toothpicks in there. They still wouldn't see anything because they don't want to see. But to those that want to see, to those that are hungry, to those that are thirsty, Now, I got a bunch of scriptures I got to go through. John chapter 8, verse 12. It says, "Then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And as he's preaching, "I am the light of the world," there was a world that rejected him. There was a world that never got any of that light. There was a world that never saw what he was preaching. There was the majority that never received it. They never accepted it because they never wanted it, because they were too stuck on their traditions. They were too stuck on their ways of life. They were worried about their little lifestyle getting upset. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost. If you're going to try and serve God, I'm going to tell you, get ready for him to upset your lifestyle. Get ready for him to upset your schedule, to upset everything in your life. Because when he steps in, he's going to make a change. And if you don't let him make a change, you will never be the one that God is calling you to be. He'll mess everything up. Everything. It's not that I don't want to go to church because of these rules. No. What you're saying is, I don't want to go to church because I want to continue to live how I want to live, and I don't want nobody messing with it. Well, God's going to mess with it. He's going to mess with you. It's his gospel. It's his ministry. You're his. He bought you with a price. He paid for you with his own blood. You belong to him now. He decides where I go. He decides what I say. I feel the Holy Ghost. He decides everything in my life. And if God puts the brakes on it, no matter how bad I want it. Believe me, I've had to deal with that a lot too. Come on, God. Man. He said, I'm the light of the world. You follow me, you should not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The word light, anytime you read it in the Bible, it means illuminated. Exactly what the apostle was talking about in verse 32. Call to remembrance the former days in which you were first illuminated. The former days in which you first created an atmosphere that allowed the light of God to hit you and allowed him to transform your life. Listen to me. Daytime doesn't mean light. Oh, no, sir, it does not. Oh, no. The weather today is cloudy with some overcast. There's some things messing with the light. There's some things in the atmosphere that won't let the light through. I feel the Holy Ghost. There's some things that will not let the beautiful clarity of the day come in. Hey, do you want to know where confusion comes in? It's when the atmosphere gets messed with. And when the atmosphere gets messed with, it creates confusion in the world. And the light cannot shine the way we would want the light to shine. So Acts 26 and 18, it says to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. That's not salvation. Just in case anybody ever told you that, that has nothing to do with salvation. That's the day God lets you see. That's the day God opens your eyes and you're like, wait a second here. Things are not the way I thought they were. There's something missing. I've got to have something. There's something more. I need to get myself where God's leading me. I need to let God do what he's doing. That's what happens when he opens your eyes. And to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. See, they hadn't even received forgiveness of sins at that point. He opened their eyes so they can receive forgiveness of sins. You cannot be forgiven of something you will not acknowledge as sin. So what do? I don't see anything. No, I don't see it. No, I don't see nothing. There's nothing wrong here. We're all good. Everything's just fine. I got people fornicating in my house. We're just fine. I got people do drugs, and I'm helping them buy it. I'm buying their cigarettes. I'm buying their 12-pack because I want to be a good Christian. I'm just fine. I'm living my life the way I want. It's okay. Just one time on the computer, I'm okay. It's just fine. He opens our eyes so we can see. But yet again, he was still rejected of many. Most never accepted him as the Messiah or as the prophesied Savior. Therefore, their eyes were never opened and they were never turned to light. They fail to create an atmosphere that allows the light to illuminate. Consider the next verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 4 and 3, Brad, it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He said, here's what he said. He said, they're lost because they want to be lost. That's the only reason they're lost. And because they want to be lost, Satan has blinded their minds so they can't even see if they want to now. I'm in the book. God turned them over to a reprobate mind, to those things which were unseemly between themselves, because they had not a love of the truth. Read your Bible. Not just a few verses that you live by. The whole thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful book. So, daytime. Outside now. Open that blinds for me. Isn't that nice? Light, beautiful sun shining in, the atmosphere is just perfect for it. You're ready to go home. You want to go garden. You want to go jet skiing. By the way, if I can refrain from using the bathroom for 2 hours in a wetsuit, you can wait till service is over. Yep, I put it on writing. Right on the tape. I need somebody to invent a wetsuit that you can actually go to the bathroom with. So, daytime is not light. Listen to me. When you have overcast, when you have clouds, it messes with the light. That's how confusion works. That's where confusion comes in. 2 weeks ago, I sent out a message to this church on a Monday morning. And I told you, because I know what I feel in the Holy Ghost. I told you that I felt like Satan was trying to use confusion. He's trying to come in and confuse some people. He's trying to mess with your light. And I know what I know because I know what I know. And I know it because I know it. Watch Job 10 and 15. Job said, if I be wicked, woe unto me. And if I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head. I am full of confusion. Therefore, see thou mine affliction. If I be Job 10, 15, Brad, if I be wicked, woe unto me. But if I be righteous, yet I will not lift up my head. Job didn't have a clue. He had come to this place in this whole trial of his where he wasn't the man he was at the beginning. He wasn't as confident as he was, and now he's all messed up. I don't know if I'm wicked. I don't know if I'm righteous. Even if I am righteous, I'm not even going to bother lifting up my head because I feel so ashamed of myself. And then he says, I'm so confused. That's not God. You see, the light at that point in Job's life was not able to shine because of confusion. Whenever you deal with confusion, there's an absence of light in your life. I don't know, is this wrong? Is this bad? Or, you know, is this necessary? I don't know. That's not God. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. There's perfect peace in everything that God does. God's not changing his mind every 2 days or every 2 years. God is away. No, I never mind. No, I don't forget that. No, never mind. No, I like it better. No, that's not God. That's us. That's confusion.
That is the absence of light. It's the absence of clarity because there's something in the atmosphere that's messing with the light coming into my life. And you need to fix the atmosphere and get some light shining in your life, and the confusion will be cleared up.
But man, that's I can't do that, Pastor. That means if God clears it up, then I can't do what I want to do. And I can't live how I want to live. Don't be so short-sighted you send yourself right to hell, ringing bells all the way. If the gospel be his, be hid to those that are lost. Am I okay? Watch David, chapter 44, the book of Psalms, verse 1 through 3, and then we'll jump to verse 9. Psalms 44 and 1. Now watch this. David says, "We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days and times of old. How thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand and plantest them, and how thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land in by possession of their own sword, neither did they their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm in the light of thy countenance, because thou hast favor in them." Now you want to understand David's state of mind. He said, "God, we've heard these stories of what you did for Israel. We know that you're the one that delivered them. They did not win battles by their own sword. They won battles by your hand. Now watch verse 9. But thou hast cast us off and put us to shame, and goest not forth with our armies. Thou makest us to turn back from the enemy, and they which hate us spoil for themselves. Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat, and hast scattered us among the heathen. Thou sellest thy people for naught, and dost not increase thy wealth by their price. Thou makest us a reproach to our neighbors, and a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. Thou makest us a byword among the heathen, a shaking of the head among the people." Now watch. "My confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my face hath covered me." David said, "God, we've heard these stories of your great exploits." Or I'll say it this way, "God, I've seen how you've done other things for other people. I've seen how others have prospered and they've grown in their walk with God. And I know that you're able, but then God, how come my world's falling apart? But God, how come I'm not experiencing that same thing? How come I'm not experiencing the same joy that they're experiencing? Come on, somebody. How come I don't have the peace of God that they talk about?" Oh, and David says, "My confusion is continually before me. I don't understand this, God. How can this be?" Two notable men in the scripture, Job and David, both in the midst of their storm, in the midst of their cloudy skies, confusion comes in because the atmosphere had got messed up. And when the atmosphere gets messed up, it causes confusion. And confusion causes people to be depressed. Confusion causes people to think irrationally. Confusion causes people to begin to question. And that's exactly what the adversary wants you to do. He wants you to question truth, question God, question where you're at. I feel somebody, you know God's talking to you. You ought to accept and lift your hands and receive what God's trying to shine into your life right now. It's this confusion that caused the dog to chase his tail. You ever watch a dog do that? I mean, you can be the person you said, you're like, "That's so dumb." Cats are dumber, just for the record. Dumb animal. Cats sitting there batting their tail like it's an enemy. A snake. You ever see a snake eat his own tail? Oh, yeah. An animal that attacks their own young. I've seen it happen. Or how about this one? It's all right. How about this one? The body of Christ begins to devour itself. Amen. get some confusion in, and the body of Christ would begin to devour itself, eat each other, turn on each other, not even understanding. It's like a snake eating his own tail. It's like a dog chasing its own tail. It's like an animal killing its own young because it got the wrong scent on it. What Satan does when he brings confusion into the body begins to devour itself. And that's exactly, let me put it to you in layman's terms, you might understand. But they don't care about me. They don't care that I'm there anyway. Well, nobody even really likes me anyway. Well, you know what? It's all about their favorites. I could get a few of y'all to amen that now. It's all about the favorites, the ones they really like. They're the only ones that ever get used for anything. You know, it's all about this and all about that. The body begins to devour itself because there's no clarity of God coming in. There's too much confusion. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 14, it kind of epitomizes this. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, you despise not, nor rejected. Galatians 4, 14, Brad. But receive me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. I love this verse. I love this verse. Let me start all over. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, you despise not. Here's what Paul said. He said, you know, I had struggles, but you didn't attack me for it. Nor rejected me, but received me as an angel of God, even in my struggles. I can relate, Paul. As a pastor, man, people, they get into church, man, they'll love you. You do anything. It don't matter what, they'll love you anyway. It's only in time they begin to pick you apart for the same faults that you had your whole life. And Christians, we do the same thing to each other. Lady called me years ago. She moved another girl from the church in. About a month later, she calls, Oh, Pastor. Anytime the phone call starts like that, I'm like, oh, God, I'm in for it. Oh, Pastor, you don't know them. You don't know them. Where's Kevin? Tell him I called him out. Oh, Pastor, you don't know. Oh, man, ever since then, I've seen things I've never. Oh, man, they're not who I thought they were. I said, no, that's the exact same person moved into your house. You just see more than what you saw before, that's all. You love them unconditionally then. Now because you see some of their weaknesses and some of their problems, that changes. They're different. Huh? That's what Paul's saying here. Now he says, and my temptation, which was in my flesh, you despise not, nor rejected, but receive me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness you spake of? Now Paul's like, where's that at? Where'd it go? You used to love me. What happened? He said, for I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked your own eyes out and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Man, that is a powerful verse. Oh, now because I preach truth, I'm your enemy, huh? Now you wouldn't even give me a cookie. Forget about your eyes. No, you're not getting my cookie. So when you get to the latter part of the text there in Hebrews, you'll probably have to go back and just revisit it. It begins to reveal to us what our saving grace is from falling back and stepping back into confusion. I got several more verses, so hang tight. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. It says, remember the early days when you were spiritually enlightened. Oh, that's one we already read. I'm sorry. I wanted to come back to that. So that's where I'll start then. I want to ask you today to remember when you first come to the Lord or when you first walked in this church, this might have been the place where you found understanding or revelation. Remember, you were spiritually enlightened and you patiently endured affliction. Psalms 43 and 3. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth, and let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Send out thy light and thy truth, and let them lead me. Bring me into the holy hill. That's a high place. Literally means a mountain. Take me up, God, above the clouds. Take me up above the confusion. Take me up, fill the Holy Ghost, trying to talk to somebody. take me above all this mess. If you've flown, you understand what I'm talking about. All you got to do is get above the clouds. And man, it's really a beautiful view. It's crazy. Because up there, you can see the light before the cloud or the confusion begins to mess with it. Psalms 119 and 105. I think I already read that one, didn't I? I don't know, but thy word is a lamp. No, I didn't. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Watch, the entrance of thy words give light. The entrance of thy words give light. The moment they come into my life, the moment the word, like right now, comes into my life. Now, I got news for you. There's nothing more important than reading your Bible. But it's more beneficial to have the preach word, because life and death is in the power of the tongue. And there's something about when God anoints a man to preach it, it adds something new to it. His anointing flows with it. When we can read it, and we can read it in our own understanding. But when it's preached, some of that junk can get cleared up. Some of the confusion Satan tries to bring in as you're trying to digest the word of God. So the lamp means a candle. It shows me where I'm walking each step. It's the most important thing is what's my next step. But the light unto my path, it illuminates and shows me where I'm going. See, you've got to have both. You've got to know where you're walking, and you've got to know where you're going. And the only thing that shows you where you're going is the light. And the only way you can be very clear about that direction is not by being told. He illuminates. When you read that, it literally talks about like a pathway that's filled with brush and briars and all that nonsense. And what that means is, even though it doesn't look so good, the light will guide me through this. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It takes care of every step, and it illuminates my direction so I'm clear about where I'm going, not confused. I want to say this. It is not and never has been God when you're confused about where you're headed. Never. The only way you become confused is when the atmosphere gets cloudy and the light is not clearly coming through. Proverbs 6 and 23 says, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is light. Now, people hate the law anymore. Do whatever you want. Rob people, beat them up, kill them, steal, walk right in. They don't care. It doesn't matter. The commandment is a lamp. The law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. We need reproof in our life regularly and instruction. Micah 7 and 8, my last verse, Brad. It says, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I want to ask you to stand with me. If you've ever been in a service, it's like tough, you know, it's like tough steak. Tough to chew. But when you get done, you feel so much clarity, it's unbelievable. It's almost as if every cloud in the atmosphere has been removed. Ah, feel the Holy Ghost. I'm going to ask us to end this service differently today. And I'm going to ask you to help me to create an atmosphere where the light and the Word will be able to illuminate our lives. What happened earlier was the atmosphere was here. It was right. And that is where God is able to do what God and only God can do. We need an atmosphere that will allow the light to shine without any overcast whatsoever. We need the Lord to be able to come into this place, clear up confusion. That was my prayer this morning. I said, God, let your holy angels come into this place and don't let there be an ounce of confusion. Don't let there be anything that opposes, God, what you want to do. And I feel that right now in this place. And if you've got anything in your mind that's confusing you right now, you need to begin to speak against it. And you need to begin to say, Lord, I receive from you the light this morning. Let it come down, I pray. Get rid of the clouds. Get rid of the overcast. Get rid of everything. Because when the devil can bring confusion into your life, he can get you all messed up. Lord Jesus, I pray right now, oh God, that the confusion that may try to settle in this place, let it be gone even now as we pray in the name of Jesus. Let your word begin to illuminate our hearts. Let your word begin to illuminate our minds. Let your word begin to illuminate my life. Every single life in this place, whatever I need to see, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that we'll see it. Every person, I need to see something different than Brother Kenny needs to see. Sister Bonnie needs to see something different than Brother Bill needs to see. Hector needs to see something different than Crystal needs to see. Help us to see, God, what you need us to see. Let the light, without any interference or any overcast. I feel, Lord, your word is confirmed in your creation. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Let the word of God begin to illuminate. Let the will of God begin to illuminate. In the name of Jesus, let the Holy Ghost be unquenched. Anything that stands in the way of your spirit, God, and of your will, I rebuke that thing now. Clear out the skies. Clear out the atmosphere. Let your will be done in every life in this place right now in the name of Jesus. Would you shout his name right now? Would you shout his name? The Bible says, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Shout, Jesus! Hallelujah.
Oh, my God, how great you are. How great you are. Jesus, my God, how great you are, how great you are. Oh, yes, we worship him. How great you are, how great you are.
Oh, when they pick up their Bible, Jesus, let the words be clear. Let them be clear. I rebuke the overcast. I rebuke the clouds in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let the Holy Ghost minister clearly. Hey, wherever they're at, whatever's going on. Yes.
How great you are. Yes, we worship the name. My God, how great you are. How great you are. Telling the earth how great you are. We are responding to your love. The oceans are rising, rising and falling as your responding to your love. My God, how great you are. How great you are.
Yes, God, how great.
My God, how great you are. How great, how great.
Ooh.
You know, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor in a second. I know in Ohio that we're happy if the weather forecast calls for a partly sunny day. And we're happy if there's only a 20% chance of rain. But I don't want 20%. I don't want 80%. I want 100%. I want 100% of what God has for me. 100% of understanding, of revelation. I want 100% of truth. I want all of it. And all I ask you to do today, some of y'all, I feel in the Holy Ghost, some of y'all, you're saying, well, I got light in my life. Well, I didn't ask you if you're happy with a partly sunny day. That's not what we're preaching about. We're preaching about clear skies. In clear skies, there's no confusion. There's no back and forth. There's no doubt that comes in every couple days. If the gospel be hid, it's hid to those that are lost, to those that want to be. But I believe that the church that we pastor here is a church that wants all that God has. And everything that God has to give you, you want it. And I want to ask, Brother Kenny's going to come lead us in prayer. But I want you, if you would, do this for me. If every person in this place, as we pray, would lift their hands and pray and ask God, all of us, ask God, any confusion in my life, in my neighbor's life, in my brother's life, my sister's life, clear it up, God, that we might have all that you have for us and see all that you want us to see. Hallelujah. Would you do that with me?
Hallelujah, Jesus, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing right now, Lord. But we don't want to just end this day with the cuts, Lord. We don't want to end this day with there being more here for us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to open up, to receive all that you have right now, Lord. The healing, the restoration, the deliverance from confusion, Lord. Open us up, Lord, that we wouldn't question, we wouldn't doubt, Lord. But that we would receive, Lord, your clarity, your understanding, Lord. Your direction, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Let us leave this place with new refreshness, with new anointing, with new covering, and new readiness, Lord, to be that light, Lord. Lord, to be the reflection of you, Jesus, to our neighbors, to our families, Lord, that we can walk out of here, Lord, feeling the deliverance, feeling the relief, Lord, of being able to understand you have purposed us and placed us, Lord. You have guided us. You have led us, Lord. Hallelujah. Let us receive that right now, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let us receive what you are doing. Hallelujah. We don't want to fight you, Lord, but we want all that you have for us, Jesus. Hallelujah. Help us, Lord, to press right now. To press to receive, Lord, your clarity, your understanding, your word, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we claim it in the mighty name of Jesus. Harabashia. Oh, Jesus.
As we sing, my God. Oh, my God, how great you are. How great you are. Yes, God, how great. My God, how great you are. How great you are. How great. My God, how great you are. How great you are. Yes, Jesus, how great. My God, how great you are. How great you are. My God, how great you are. How great you are.
Hallelujah. God, we just praise your name today, Jesus. God, we just pray as we leave this place today, Lord, we would take your word with us, Jesus. God, we would apply it to our lives today, Jesus. God, we just need you today, Lord. Help us to be that shining light, Jesus. Lord, we need you right now. We just want to give you all the glory and the honor. And we just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed in Jesus' name.